Lord, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings that remind us that you are lenient and you're waiting for us to bring forth a yield, a good harvest in the kingdom of God. So help us to avoid discouragement and to trust in you and to do what we can to help other people come into relationship with you and experience the grace of salvation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. It's great to be back with you. I came back late last night from that conference. I went to the School of the Holy Spirit in Boston. It was amazing. So I was gone last week, and I left Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon. And many incredible things happened. I'll share just a little bit during the homily, but I just have a business note. I'm going to be gone again next week. And, you know, my father passed away on December 20th, and the man did not like funerals. He had a lot of trauma surrounding his own father's death back in the mid-60s. And then his sister's death, my aunt, in the late 80s. And he just made it very clear to us that he didn't like funerals. He just thought it made people sad, and he didn't get it. So I spent 2 hours arguing with him when my mom's mom was dying, my grandma Edna, in their back little bedroom there, a little room where we watch TV. And I said, "Dad, funerals are for the people left behind to celebrate your life. I don't want one, yada, yada." But he didn't say anything about a celebration of life. So me being sneaky and crafty, like father, like son, we're planning a celebration of life for him next Saturday evening at my mom's house in the backyard. It's probably going to be 114 degrees. I forgot the last weekend of July is always the hottest. It's boat race weekend, Columbia Cup, and we were always gone fishing because we hated the heat. So anyways, we'll be boiling and celebrating my dad's wonderful life. He was a great father. So I won't be with you next Saturday or Sunday because I'm going to stay on. My aunt's coming over from Georgia and just have a few days with the family to honor him. And so absence makes the heart grow fonder in theory. Okay, very good. Today we have a wonderful set of scripture readings that remind us the Book of Wisdom about the Lord's mercy and how even in the gospel, don't pull up the weeds, they can change. They can become fruitful, you know. And so God is still telling us today in this age when we have so much rebellion against him and so much chaos and disorder in our world that God is still extending a hand of mercy to us because he loves us and wants us to be saved. Jesus did not come to condemn the world but to save it, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. And so we always have to keep that message in the forefront of our minds and our hearts that we still have work to do to help invite people to be part of God's family and part of the kingdom of God. And so we never give up on people. Amen?
Amen.
We can't give up. And even if people aren't going to church and they seem obstinate and they don't understand, they haven't had that encounter with Jesus yet. You know, once you have that encounter, it's over. It's deal done. It's over. It's like, I get it now. I know the love of God in my heart, and I have a relationship with his son, and I've been brought into his family, and for the rest of my life, I'm going to just try to do what he's asking me to do in his kingdom. But many Catholics, as I've said before, are sacramentalized and not evangelized. Oh, they get their sacraments, someone drags them to church, they go through the motions, but their heart is really dead and not open to the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit. And so we have a lot of work to do, even in our own church, but even in the world today, to make sure people understand the depths of God's love for each one of us, that we're children of God. And so I spent the last week with a bunch of people who knew that and have experienced that. It was amazing. It wasn't as big as I thought it would be. Maybe 70 people came to the School of the Holy Spirit. It was at Anna Maria College in Paxton, Massachusetts. And I expected everyone to have one of those wonderful Boston accents. Give me some coffee. But they really did. I was really disappointed. I was ready to make fun of them, and it didn't work out. But I was warned that you will feel like you'll be a stranger if you can't pronounce the name of one town, Worcester, and not Worcestershire, as I first said when I got there. No, it's Worcester. So I finally learned that they welcomed me with open arms, and I finally was able to pronounce the name of that town correctly. But it was an amazing week, and I'm just going to spend the next several weeks trying to unpack everything that happened. But there were words of knowledge, healing, prophecy. It was just, I can't even put into words. It's just what I needed. And there was healing for me too for the loss of my dad. Just so many things happened. And one night, and it was very ecumenical because there was one guy named Pastor Miles Milhelm who came and he's giving his talk and I'm sitting towards the back like a good Catholic. My dad always sat in the back of the church. Dad, you trying to make a quick getaway or something or what? But he goes, "Where's that priest from Seattle?" I'm like, There's only one person here who's a priest from Seattle, and it's me. I kind of crouched in my chair. Come forward. Like, oh no. So I came forward, he prayed over me, he had a word, not just for me, but for this archdiocese. It was a very encouraging word about how God wants to begin a powerful work of renewal. But I need to pray about it and figure it out and everything. And even in the word, there was a warning, like, there's a price to this. I'm like, oh, I didn't want to hear that. I did want to hear that, actually. But it was just an amazing week. And when people are open to the Holy Spirit and they come with an expectant faith, wonderful things begin to happen. And another person who I went to pick up at the airport came, and she's not Catholic, and she stayed for the Mass. And because people were so engaged in the worship, she was crying. She said, wow, communion with Catholics is something incredible. You know, and she was really drawn into the celebration because of the way we were worshiping, and people were very attentive and respectful. And so it had a powerful impact on her. She doesn't totally understand the real presence and everything, but she understands the importance of communion, at least in her own denomination, and was very respectful of us and everything. So it was a beautiful week. But the second reading says that we don't know how to pray as we ought, so the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf and prays in us and through us. So we were praying a lot in the Spirit during the last week and asking the Lord to help us discern the signs of the times. What can we do to bring about the kingdom of God in our world today? And one of the things they addressed was, you know, not to be discouraged, because he starts off small. And the scripture readings remind us of that, that, you know, sometimes God's ways are not these dramatic Hollywood-like, you know, movies, dramatic ways, but the little ways that we respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and step out in faith, we advance the kingdom of God. And people may not know about it. It's not going to make the front news of the Seattle Times or King 5 News, but we know that we're, in our heart, we're honoring Jesus as Lord, and we call upon the name of the Lord to help us advance the kingdom of God. So don't be discouraged when you don't see things happen. Maybe you're praying for a family member. Maybe your kids don't go to church anymore. That's very common, isn't it? I mean, I have people in my family that are falling away from their faith. Don't give up. Don't give up. It says in Isaiah 45:3, I will give you treasures in darkness. So even when we don't see things we want to, God is still very much at work in our lives. And it's the Holy Spirit that reminds us of that. And I was reminded of that last week during these presentations and worship and conference and so forth. So we never give up hope on people. And we're just always praying in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, is there something you need to show me? Give me a spirit of revelation to understand how I can be helpful to this person. And one of the things they addressed was kind of a bitter spirit, where we just look back, we look at the things in front of us and we get discouraged and we just criticize and critique things. Well, they're not doing what they're supposed to, and that's all messed up and that's screwed up. And they said, you know, don't be a prophet of doom and gloom. You have a hopeful message to share with people, that the Lord loves you and wants to restore your life and bring you life in abundance. It is so easy, and I know I struggle with this too, when I look around and see all the dysfunction, even within the church, and so forth, and now we have these partners in the gospel, there's going to be dramatic changes on the horizon for us. I told you that. I don't sugarcoat stuff. You know, this summer, there are going to be some dramatic changes coming for every parish in this archdiocese, but we need to look forward to those with hope that God will provide exceedingly and abundantly for all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He's going to be with us. And if you study church history, we've been through many, many worse periods of history where people were being put to death for showing up for Mass. You think of that ever? You know, you could be put to death for coming to Mass today if you lived in the first few centuries of the church. Do you ever think about that? Probably not. It's not depressing. It's wonderful. They've witnessed to the power that without this, we can't exist. That's what they said in the 3rd century, and they put 50 people to death. The last person came out who had the Mass in their house, and you know what the penalty was. Why did you do this? Without this, we can't live. It's that important. It's a matter of life and death. The Eucharist is a matter of life and death. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you will not have life within you. Could you say that again, Jesus? Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you will not have life within you. Okay, I get it. It's a matter of life and death. So we're not in that period right now. It might be coming, who knows? But the Holy Spirit is coming in power and might to strengthen us in our inner self, to experience signs and wonders like we've never seen before. And that was part of the conference. Like, you're going to see an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit like you've never seen before. And it always comes in the midst of persecution and confusion and difficulty. But God is faithful. He's not going to abandon us. Amen? So I'm convinced of that. I don't know what I'm going to be doing next year and what's going to happen, but I know who my Lord is. I know he loves me. I know he loves you. He has a wonderful plan for our lives. So let's pray that we be praying in the power of the Holy Spirit to discern that and not be discouraged, and don't be a prophet of doom and gloom. The world's a mess. We already know that. Thank you. The world's a mess. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord of that mess, and he's at work in that mess, and he's at work in you and me. So rejoice and be glad and smile. The people during the last week, they were happy. They were very happy. There was no, let us pray, like constipated or something. None of that. They were so happy and lifting their hands, and it was just amazing. It was wonderful. God bless you all. Let's just say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, for all the things you're doing in our lives and you will do in our lives. And we just pray for greater discernment through the Holy Spirit to know what is good and pleasing to you, and that we never feel trapped, abandoned, alone, because you're always with us and you're always offering us new insights into how we can be a sign of your love and mercy for the people around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.